Welcome to Ask Say, the podcast. This is Say Tioko speaking, and you are now listening to episode number 2. Today's topic is a sensitive one, and I am giving out a warning that listening to this may trigger anxiety or panic attacks. Please be guided accordingly. I've waited over a year to finally be able to talk about this. I've waited because I wanted to come from a place of awareness and not a place of hurt and anger. Let's begin. It was late 2017 when we discovered that Papa had lung cancer. I've never experienced anything like it before. The whole process of grief was so new to me that my whole system automatically shifted to flight mode. I didn't want to deal with it. I just wanted to escape everything. I remember turning to alcohol to numb myself of whatever I was feeling. I didn't want to feel. This was around the same time I met this person. He came into my life during such a turbulent time, and stupid me thought it was fate. He adored me in the beginning. He had his best foot forward. Then all the red flags started popping up one by one. Papa lost his life March of 2018, just 4 months after his diagnosis. I pushed through with a work trip around the time of his wake. I know it was stupid and my mind wasn't in the right place. It was a beach trip. He came along with me. The first instance I felt in my gut that something was utterly wrong was when I tried to wake him up gently by touching his foot. He was asleep on the hammock by the beach, and he reacted so aggressively and offensively that I was left speechless, and I just decided to walk away and go back to my room. He acted as if nothing happened after that incident. We got back just in time for the last day of Papa's wake, and I remember getting so upset by two things. One, an argument with this person, saying he already paid his respects to my father and didn't have to go to the wake anymore. And two, the fact that that day was the last day of the wake and I had to be there right now. The latter was far more important. We took another trip to the beach. It was nighttime and we were strolling. We passed by a dark alley and out of the blue, he said, "Babe, go over there. The Kuyas will gang rape you and I will join them." I remember stopping in my tracks and freezing. What the hell did I just hear? Upon seeing my reaction, he laughed and gave me a hug while saying, "I'm only joking." This was the time I started getting massive anxiety attacks. My body just knew something was wrong. I would get nauseous, and my stomach would churn and turn uncontrollably. I calmed myself by drinking. We had a fight during dinner one time. I remember sobbing on the table with my head down. He held his table knife and said, "Isasaksak ko sa'yo to eh." He got the hotel key from my bag and he left me on that table. He always had sporadic outbursts. I was walking on eggshells all the time. I felt myself getting smaller and smaller, as if something was sucking my soul out of my life. It was horrible. I was far too deep into the abuse cycle that I really felt change. The moment I knew something was wrong with me was when I looked in the bathroom mirror and I couldn't recognize myself. I didn't know who I was looking at. I was so lost. One time, while being intimate, he called me disgusting. He told me, "You have STD. You have AIDS." He was always lazy in bed, but announced to the world that it's a woman's job to make men come. Every time an incident like this happened, I drank to calm my nerves. Anxiety attacks were part of my life that time. It was the horrible kind that wraps your entire being, insides and outsides. And I found myself uncontrollably shaking one time. My body was crying out for help. It was signaling me that something is terribly wrong. I helped out with booking tickets for him one time. He called me Bobo for selecting a flight with a long layover. I didn't notice it, but to be shouted at and to be called Bobo was too extreme. I was editing a vlog while he was watching TV in my apartment. I noticed he turned the volume down. Assuming he did it for me, I said, "No, it's fine. Turn the volume up." He shouted at me saying, "Anong paki ko sa'yo? Di ko naman hininaan yan para sa'yo." My stomach churned and turned. Whenever I put on makeup for an event, he'd say, "Nagmamasilyak ka na naman." And he hated whenever I put my perfume on. He also made fun of bras and how women wear bras to deceive men into thinking they have bigger boobs. He'd mentioned this over and over and over in several occasions. Around this time, I started researching and came across misogyny. He fit every category. Whenever he saw me drinking, he called me an alcoholic. He called me crazy. He called me stupid. He was always condescending. He treated me like I was stupid, like I didn't know a thing. I've also never met anyone as apathetic as he is. He showed no empathy towards me. I felt like I could never be vulnerable around him because he would just use it against me. My family never ever liked him. My closest friends felt uncomfortable around him. One time he told me, "You're a nobody." I completely lost my identity. Until something happened on my birthday last year, 2019. It was as if my body fought for me. All those times he belittled me and crushed my self-esteem day after day, I wasn't able to fight back. I swept it all under the rug. I made excuses for him. I told myself, he had a rough life, give him a break. My boundaries were non-existent. I was living in a turbulent time in my life. My birthday wish last year was, "I wanna be free." I made sure to shout that during my party for everyone to hear. The universe heard me. I was granted a time of change. During this time, I decided to see a psychologist. The first session I had with her, I didn't know how to begin. I was already on the verge of crying. In my hands, I had 2 pages of paper. Typed on them were all the bad things he did and said to me. I kept this list on my laptop. I started keeping record after the second bad incident. I wanted to remember. The abuse cycle is a harsh one because there are moments where you are led to believe that whatever happened didn't happen. So I made sure to keep a record. The fighter in me still worked somehow. I had an hour and I poured myself out. I saw the empathy in my doctor's eyes. She mentioned narcissistic abuse, narcissistic personality disorder, and many more. She said that there are so many cases like this around the world. She taught me how to self-soothe and how to slowly bring myself back. How to bring back everything I've lost. People with narcissistic tendencies are drawn to such empathic, deeply feeling people and know that on some level, they personally are lacking in emotional depth and substance. By being in a relationship with such a nurturing, loving person, the person with narcissism is able to consume that person's authentic love and extract narcissistic supply. I had nightmares for 2 weeks straight. My system was purging. It was purging him. He reached out and sent paragraph-long messages, going back to when we were happy. My reaction? I told myself, this is the hoovering technique. Narcissists will do everything to win back their supply. By this time, I've already researched a lot about narcissistic abuse, and I was stunned that it is exactly what I went through. When he noticed I wasn't budging, He threatened me and tried to blackmail me. It was such a sudden switch from being nostalgic to instantly a monster once again. I had enough. One thing my psychologist told me, step one is to cut all communication and connection. I blocked him in everything. No contact is the absolute first step. It was like disconnecting my vein from an IV bag full of poison. It was time to heal. Why am I speaking up? It broke my heart to discover that there are millions of women who go through this worldwide. I've had viewers send me messages telling me their stories. Some were able to get out, some are still stuck because they're married to narcissists. It breaks my heart to a billion pieces to imagine both women and men going through what I went through. And to think I see myself as a strong person. I survived it. But what about the others who aren't as strong? What do we do? The thing about narcissistic abuse is that you'll never understand it unless it happens to you. You can only try to imagine. It is a whole nother level of insidiousness. It is something I wouldn't wish on anybody. Awareness is step one. I told myself I'd speak about this sooner or later. I'm happy I did it. Abuse, in whatever shape or form, is never and will never be okay. If you feel like your life is in danger, seek help immediately. There are lots of support groups online, especially for narcissistic abuse, and I found them extremely helpful. To date, I have gone over a year with no contact, and let it be known that this will remain for all eternity. We are finished with episode 2. Thank you for listening to me.